I will never forget a waiter in Brussels bragging, "In Belgium, we eat as hearty as the Germans and as fine as the French." The Belgians are famous for their waffles and fries and beer, at least from this American perspective. But they're also respected for their high cuisine, their gastronomy. Right now, we're joined by two friends and tour guides from Belgium, Nina Derricks and Ferdinando Mengi, to talk about Belgian taste treats. Ferdi and Nina, thanks for joining us.
All right.
Here we go.
For the traveler, there's all sorts of trendy and high cuisine options. But when you think back to your childhood, what was the go-to dish that your mom would serve you?
Main dish every day at lunchtime is the main meal, because I'm from farmer stock, soup. Often pigeon soup, because Belgians particularly like pigeon racing, and all the losers went into the soup. No, really.
In the farm community?
I have had a lot of loser soup, as we call it.
Loser soup?
Yeah, loser soup.
A losing pigeon would end up in the soup at lunch.
Yeah, you wring their neck if they don't win a prize, and then you go in the soup. And there's a lot of goodness in soup. Mainly, that's why you had soup. Everything is in there. Mothers are happy. Kids have had soup.
There's happiness in soup.
Followed by potatoes, everyday potatoes, storage potatoes without any taste. You put them in the winter in your cellar and then you have them. I don't know what you do to those things. You rehydrate them and then you eat them boiled with vegetables and bechamel sauce with a lot of nutmeg.
So you call it storage potatoes. They're just sort of...
They store for the winter.
They're just filler.
They lose their taste. Yeah, boil them.
Always boil them.
Yeah.
Or once a week fries, of course.
Once a week fries.
Okay,
Was that like a luxury to have them fried or something? Or
why, no, that why was tradition. And it was always on the same day, remember that?
Yes, what that's day? Right.
I think we had fries on Thursdays. And all the rest of the week we had potatoes.
Boiled potatoes. Yes.
So if a child today says, "Oh, I just had that yesterday," you would kind of go, When I was a kid.
you had potatoes every day
and you were thankful.
Famous painting of Van Gogh.
Yeah,
the potato eaters.
That's my family.
Yes. That's a bunch of humble farm people gathered around a table with one candle and a bowl of potatoes to share.
And that's a true story. I mean, it's not like she's just invented, but our days, that was the way. And before.
And that was it. Yeah. But you still have a love of potatoes. And I've been to places that cook up the Belgian fries. We call them French fries. What do you call them?
But the French fries, because they cut. The way they cut the potatoes, that's the French cut.
That's a French cut.
Nothing to do with fries.
And let's get it right. We say Flemish fries.
Flemish, yeah. It's Belgian invention, though. Don't forget.
Don't ever forget. No. French fries are
Flemish fries. Vlaamse frieten.
Vlaamse frieten.
And that is literally Flemish fries.
Vlaamse frieten. We say Vlaamse frieten met mayonnaise.
Now, I have a friend who's a restaurateur in Bruges, and he took me into his kitchen, and he was like evangelical about his Vlaamse frieten, his French fries. He explained how they bake
them first, or cook them, or put them in oil, certain temperature, and then they take them out, and then they wait until they cool off, and then they fry them again on a higher temperature, so they become crisp and a little bit
And as
colorful.
A Belgian, do you recognize the difference?
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have a good dollop of really fatty mayonnaise on top of the double fried fries.
And the best mayonnaise is when you make them yourself.
Yes, the first recipe I ever learned at home is how to make mayonnaise.
Yeah. And it's so easy to make, and it's so much
better. So what's the trick of good mayonnaise then?
An egg, a little bit of oil,
mustard.
A little bit of mustard. That's it.
And that's it.
And a bit of salt.
A little salt. That's it. And so you make mayonnaise.
In the Netherlands, they put sugar in the mayonnaise.
They make them sweet. We don't know. Be different, probably. No.
My mother would say, that's not Catholic. Meaning that's not right.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's not Catholic. How do you say that in Flemish?
That's not Catholic.
That is not Catholic. See?
Well, we would say that's not kosher.
That's not kosher.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's like
there
that's not
go.
Jewish. Yeah. That's not kosher. That's not Catholic.
That's not Catholic. Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a traveler to this day, you can go to the good place and get a cone of fries. Mm-hmm. And the most Americans would go, mayonnaise, I want ketchup.
I want ketchup. But mayonnaise is the thing you put on there.
And we used to be able to get them in newspaper.
Right.
Hmm? Oh, I remember that.
But that's now not hygienic.
Yeah.
Also, gray shrimp are popular in Belgium. Nina, can you explain to me what's the enthusiasm for the shrimp?
They're very small. They're very tasty. They come from Annecy.
Just off the coast of
Annecy shrimp, yes. I remember when I was small, my mother every Wednesday goes to the market, buys a kilo of gray shrimp. The evening television is not on. You'd all sit around with my brothers and sisters, mother and father, maybe my grandparents, and we'd all be peeling the shrimp and talking. And my dad would bring his beer. And it takes you a long time to peel these tiny little shrimp. They're so savory. In Bruges, they have shrimp, fresh peeled shrimp like that, that you peel yourself. And then you have little shots of lemon gin. It works beautifully. And I do that actually with
lemon gin
and shrimp together.
And that's a beautiful experience, and you can find that in towns all over Belgium.
Yes. So when I got married to Jamie, the Englishman, and we were home, and I said, Jamie, we're going to have this kilo of shrimp together with my family, just to bond with the family. And I went to the local market, and the vendor said, you're not from here, are you? Which really hurt me.
Okay.
I said, why? He says, shrimp that you can peel, we haven't sold that for decades, because you young housewives don't have time to peel shrimp anymore. So we don't. There's no demand for that anymore.
Because
so
the peeling the gray shrimp was sort of a way to be convivial.
Yes, that's right. It was tradition. And that's that's when we talked.
I've done that in Denmark, on small islands in little villages far from the mainstream, where you have a table full of shrimp, and together with a good Danish beer, you peel the shrimp, you talk, and you drink the beer.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Because you're busy with something, and then you just talk.
It loosens you up. Yeah. It loosens you up.
Yep.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking peeling shrimp in Belgium here with Ferdy and Nina. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Nicole's coming in from Victoria in British Columbia. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I just wanted to say one of the best meals I had in Belgium was moules frites.
Oh, moules. That's the French word for mussels. You know, all my life, you live in Victoria, you know what it's like. The pilings on the dock were just filled with these mussels, and I never dreamed of eating them. And then the same exact creatures on the finest menus in Belgium.
Just delicious. And also with the mayo that your guests were mentioning before.
So let's talk about the mussels in the cuisine, Ferdinando. How do you enjoy the mussels when you're in Belgium?
Oh, we enjoy them very much. I mean, there's a lot of restaurants where you can eat them, and they're all good to eat. But I'm a kind of a hobby cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to cook, and I cook them myself. And it's very easy to make. A little bit of onions, a little bit of celery, and that's it. A little bit of white wine. You steam them for 10 minutes, and they're done.
No salt. That's the unadulterated, the pure kind of mussels.
And there's different kinds of mussels, you know. There's different shapes or sizes, I would say. The small, the big, and the jumbo, like we call them. And
what's the tastiest?
I think the big ones.
Big ones.
You need good big mussels in the shell.
So typically you'd get a kilo or something of mussels.
Per person. Yeah,
that's about 2.2 pounds. Yeah. And it comes with a pile of good fries, Flemish fries.
Do you clean your own mussels when you get them from the market?
I clean them myself. Clean them. That's the most important thing. Clean your mussels, because you need to rinse them. Because otherwise, if you have sand in them...
Do you rinse them in floury water?
No, I rinse them. The last rinse I would do in milk.
This is they're still alive?
Well, they're fresh.
Yeah, because when we did clams, you would put them in the bucket and they would rinse themselves.
But we rinse them with water, and the last one I'd rinse them with milk so they can spit it all out.
Yeah, you kind of purify them.
Yeah, otherwise you eat and you eat sand and it doesn't come
and
over.
And Nina, in a restaurant, how do you enjoy the mussels in Belgium?
In white wine sauce.
In white wine sauce.
White wine sauce.
I usually go for a natural.
Natural or white wine sauce. I don't want anything else with mussels.
No, me neither. Because otherwise you lose the taste of the mussels.
Less is
the more you put in, less is better.
Right. Nicole, is this bringing back memories when you were in Belgium?
Oh, yes. Makes me want to go back.
Where do you remember eating mussels in Belgium? On the main square?
Yes.
I love sitting on the main square there and having my mussels and looking out at the greatest square in Europe, La Grande Place.
La Grande Place.
Nina.
Nicole, there's another type of mussels we have from Brussels. Mussels from Brussels is our name for the actor Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know Jean-Claude Van Damme, the actor. I mean, he plays in all those action movies.
Okay, so he's muscles from Brussels.
Muscle arts. Yeah.
Nicole, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Enjoy your mussels in Brussels. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking mussels in Brussels and Belgian cuisine. We Americans always know about Brussels sprouts, and I realize that they've been cultivated in Belgium for a long time. But I was wondering, we call them Brussels sprouts. Do you call them Brussels sprouts?
No, we call them spruiten.
We just call them sprouts.
I think they originated in the Brussels
area. Yes, that's right.
I think in Saint Catalin au Wavre. There's a little place outside of Brussels. And they call it Brussels, but we call them spruiten.
Outside of Belgium?
Yeah.
Logically?
Nobody calls them Brussels sprouts.
Is that part of your cuisine? Do people eat them very much?
Well, as a kid, we never liked them. I don't know about you.
We were force-fed them.
Same thing here. Some things are the same all over the world.
There was no choice. If that was served, you eat it.
Force-fed.
You cannot leave the table of bacon.
Worse than spinach,
worse than spinach.
Endives. Isn't that a Belgian endives?
Yes.
Endives, they say, but we call them endive. We never say Belgian or anything.
I never call them endive. We call them witloof. White leaves.
The white leaves. You mean the endive, the white one?
Yes.
Okay.
The French call them the chicon.
Chicon, and we call witloof. Yeah.
When I was 7 years old, we had the World's Fair here in Seattle, and that was Seattle's coming out party where we recognized there's a big world out here. And my most vivid memory in 1962 at the Seattle's World Fair, my grandfather took me to the most expensive dessert at the fair, and it was a Belgian waffle.
Oh, wow.
It was a waffle with strawberries and whipped cream. And that is an exciting part of travel to Belgium now, especially if you have that kind of a memory of a Belgian waffle.
Yeah.
The waffle was called Brussels waffle because they still call them that way. Brussels waffle is a waffle with fruit and whipped cream, right? And sometimes you have a Brussels waffle supreme with a ball of ice cream.
A supreme comes with ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
And Monique's calling in from West Newbury in Massachusetts. Monique, have you had some waffle memories in Belgium?
Yes, I have. The waffles there were so different from the ones that I was used to in the U.S. They were just crispy, and they had a sweetness to them that was so different. You didn't even need any toppings on them.
No, you're right.
And when I came home, I looked into trying to make them that way at home, and I found that the recipe, it seemed like it was made out of a yeast-risen dough rather than just a batter that we usually use at home. And they had little pearls of sugar in them, and I think that was what made all the difference.
Is that what a Liège-style waffle is? Because I've noticed that. It's a different texture. And when you're on the street and you're going to the waffle stand, you have options. Nina, what are the options?
I think the Liège waffle, that is the pearl sugar waffle.
It's thicker. It's
chewier.
Chewier.
What they do is that when they bake them, and they put a little bit of sugar on top, so the sugar caramelizes.
Oh, yes.
And that's why you have the gouffre de Liège.
The gouffre de Liège, the French way of saying waffle of Liège.
Liège,
And Liège is a town
in Wallons.
So that's a French-speaking town.
French-speaking.
In Belgium.
Yes, yeah.
Monique, what other taste treats do you remember from your time in Belgium?
Another thing that I had there was waterzooi. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Waterzooi,
It's a stew, and it traditionally I think has fish, but the version I had was chicken with potatoes and leeks. And it was so delicious that I went back to the same restaurant the next night and had the same thing again.
Wow.
And I tried making that at home as well, and that I had pretty good success making. But I would love to try the fish version sometime when I go back.
Now, that sounds like a traditional soup or stew that you might have been raised with.
Waterzooi is from the city of Ghent.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Ghentse waterzooi.
Don't you live in Ghent?
No, Genk.
Genk. Oh,
yeah,
there's two.
It's about Genk 100 miles in difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ghentse waterzooi, it's a famous dish. If it's made good, correctly, it's a delish. Ah. Delish to eat.
It's a meal soup.
It's a meal soup.
It's a meal.
It's got chicken, potatoes,
leeks.
A little bit of like a leeks. A little thicker broth in there, but it's yummy.
Is it waterzooi?
Waterzooi. Actually, what it means is mess of water.
A mess of water.
Water is water. Water is water. Zooi means a mess, making a mess out of water.
I love this.
Or zooien, from the verb zooien, that means to boil water.
Also.
And then you just chuck things in.
Chuck stuff in. So
to boil, to boil a big mess.
Sounds like a good peasant's dish from Flanders.
Absolutely.
And then you can have your waterzooi, your mess of boiled water with stuff thrown in, and take a little walk and drop by a waffle stand and have a nice dessert, a Belgian waffle.
5,000 calories right there.
I think every family has a waffle machine, don't they?
Oh, I remember.
It's not something that you buy from stands all the time.
But Nina, you remember as a kid baking waffles?
Yeah, always.
I mean, every week we were making waffles.
Sundays.
Mm. Yeah.
So that was the treat.
I bought a big box and
put it in
there.
If you kids are good, we're going to make some waffles.
Yeah, give a waffle.
All right. Monique, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Happy eating next time you're in Belgium. The culinary memories and treats of Belgium are courtesy of Belgian-born tour guides Ferdi Mengi and Nina Derricks. Nina and her husband Jamie have also operated a gourmet tour company out of their home base in Tuscany for many years. You can find out more about our guests in each week's show notes. That's at ricksteves.com/radio. We've done a lot of eating here in the last few minutes. I'm getting hungry too. And we're going to cap it off with something that is exquisite and famous in Belgium, and it's the chocolates. And I was really struck by the passion for chocolate. There's little mom-and-pop chocolatiers. They pride themselves in not putting wax in the chocolate, I guess, that helps it survive the heat. So if it's too hot, they even close down. And people buy their chocolate thinking it needs to be fresh. Today's chocolate, believe it or not. What is it with the passion for chocolate in Belgium, Ferdi?
Well, chocolate, I mean, me growing up as a kid and Nina as well, we know that chocolate was something that was, you know, we had chocolate if it was possible to get it. It was not always there because chocolate was not that cheap to buy. But I remember those cheaper chocolate bars. Remember the one with the cow on there? was like a very flat, very thin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it cost like, you know, 2 cents for a bar. And that was, of course, cheap. But so we grew up with chocolate. And chocolate, man, we have so many good chocolate cheese.
Well, now you have a line of chocolate shops. You go down, even right in the main square in Brussels, you got Leonidas, you've got Godiva, and three or four others.
Oh, yeah.
And people have their favorites. Nina, do you have a favorite chocolate in Belgium?
Oh, my God. I love Lindt chocolate, but that's Swiss.
That's Swiss. Côte d'Or.
Côte d'Or is very good,
Côte d'Or is one of my favorite.
Yeah. I like just very, very dark chocolate.
Very dark.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, dark.
Very dark chocolate.
And it's pretty good for you. I heard a dark chocolate, if you eat a little piece, not a kilo of it.
Right. What's the difference? You encountered the word praline and truffle when you're looking at chocolates. Do you know the difference?
A praline is made out of chocolate, or it's a full chocolate, or it's a filled one. Truffles is made actually of a mousse. It's softer.
Okay.
A truffle is way softer, and it has a shape of a truffle.
Is
you know
that
the
right?
Truffle, yeah. The mushrooms.
It has cream in.
Yeah, and it's got, it depends. It's got probably
cream and butter.
Cream and butter.
And a praline is a filled one.
It's a stuffed chocolate.
Yeah.
Nina and Ferdy, it's so fun just talking about eating because that's part of travel for anybody. And when if you have a guest in Belgium and you want to take them out to a favorite meal, let's just close with what you would order for your guests so they could really enjoy the cuisine of Belgium.
Well, I would first ask him what they're up for. I mean, not everybody likes mussels, or not everybody likes a Belgian stew or something. And there's so many dishes. Don't forget, and we haven't mentioned it, that Belgian cuisine is in the top five of the world.
Is that right? So there is we've been talking about low cuisine mostly, memories from our childhoods, but the high cuisine.
Yeah, that's the high cuisine. But what's coming back now is the low cuisine, the ones we grew up with. There's more and more restaurants where they serve potatoes and vegetables with bacon or sausage, which was a farmer's dish.
Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. And that's coming back slowly, and more people looking for those things. And Belgium is a perfect country.
Can you find loser soup?
Pigeon soup, yes.
Pigeon soup,
absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. We love
pigeon stews, absolutely. Right. They're back the losers.
So it depends on the palate of the guests you have, you know.
And we haven't even talked about it, but the beer is part of the cuisine. If you go to a fine wine shop in Paris, you've got French wine, but the beer will be Belgian. Europeans all think of Belgian
beer. We cook with beer, and our stews, absolutely.
And more and more people are drinking beer with their fancy dinners or meals rather than wine.
That's just kicked in, hasn't it?
That's the latest
fashion.
Years.
And beer with cheese. Yeah. Beer with cheese, combine that.
And even beer with chocolate. It's a really good combination. It depends what beer you're drinking, but it's a good...
So in the old days, beer was kind of considered food almost, and now
it was known as pain liquide, liquid bread.
Liquid bread.
Yes.
And today it has become more refined, and it's part of the whole gastronomy.
But it's still classified as food, which is interesting. So therefore you can drink it when you're 16, whereas booze, wait till you're 18.
Was that right? So so you have to be older to have a cocktail.
Yes.
But beer goes in a different category.
And like we said before, when our grandfather or our father said, well, one beer is worth 2 sandwiches.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same value.
Yes.
You know, the same...
same nutritional nutrition.
Liquide. Yeah, liquid bread.
Sounds like a fun grandpa. Yeah.
So you can drink a lot of bread.
All right. Yeah. Hey, this is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been celebrating Belgian cuisine here with two wonderful guides, Ferdinando Mengi and Nina Derricks. Ferdy and Nina, thanks so much. And I'm heading back to Belgium to sample some of this edible culture.
Call me if you dare.
All right.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Cass Murrah Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. We get website support from Andrew Wakeling, affiliate support from Sheila Gerzoff, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You'll find more at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.